A new security requirements guide, DISA issued on Tuesday, replaces and in some ways simplifies an earlier cloud security model that the agency has acknowledged turned out to be too slow and too cumbersome. The guidelines, which take effect immediately, collapse DoD's number of cloud security designations from 6 to 4 and give DISA the authority to approve any new cloud products for sensitive data, but also make much more use of the existing government-wide FedRAMP program to let commercial companies host and process unclassified DoD data. Mark Orndorff, DISA's risk management executive, says the new cloud guidelines are emblematic of a shift in the agency's broader approach to cybersecurity. It will loosen the security reins in areas that make sense so it can focus its attention on mission-critical capabilities.
We're going to say, let's allow more than we've allowed in the past to leverage the benefits of commercial cloud and accept some risk there. Define it so everybody knows what the risk level is and what the opportunities for compromise are, so we can go fully informed into those risk acceptance decisions. And then at the same time, we've got a number of initiatives to improve the security of the next generation endpoints, improve the cyber analytics so we can better detect insider threats, focus on some of the things that could be the most serious impact in a military operation that has a cyber adversary, focus there and deliver capabilities that will assure success there, and then accept risk in other areas.
For data that's already been cleared for public release or only needs some minor access control protections, the security guide declares that the existing FedRAMP standards are good enough, and any commercial hosting provider that's been certified through the program can host data without jumping through any additional DoD-specific hoops. The guide also makes provisions for commercial cloud providers to gain permission to handle information up to the secret classification level. But at that level, and even down to lower levels of sensitivity, like data that includes personally identifiable information, vendors will have to meet a set of guidelines collectively referred to as FedRAMP Plus. At those security levels, companies will first need to prove that they meet the security controls FedRAMP outlines at the moderate level of information protection, and then pass a second independent examination by DISA's cloud assessment team, based on the new security guidelines. If they pass, DISA will add the company's product to its cloud security catalog and also issue a provisional authorization that outlines the risks DISA thinks DoD components would be taking if they were to trust their data to that cloud provider. And while the guidelines attempt to shift DoD from hard and fast rules about cloud security to a process that lets defense CIOs make their own risk-informed decisions, there are still some outright prohibitions. For example, after careful consideration, defense components are allowed to sign up for services that might host some of their data outside of the continental United States, as long as they're not involved with national security systems. But for more sensitive information, DoD agencies will need proof that the data will never leave U.S. shores, and they'll have to demand a list of all of the data centers that will host the information. And Orndorff says that higher level of data will also need to be physically separated from any other machines in a company's data center that also host non-DoD data.
We feel like there is an opportunity to get the agility, economic, and technical advantages from commercial cloud and do that without putting the department at risk by leveraging the virtual separation capabilities that commercial cloud providers have up to a level of sensitivity for DoD processing. For national security systems, both unclassified and classified, we're still going to keep that in a physically isolated environment, at least for right now. And we'll come back and review that to see if we were incorrect in that analysis. But we will be changing the guidance to allow for virtual separation for things that don't meet that level of sensitivity and mission criticality.
At lower security levels, where several vendors, including Amazon, CGI, and Automatic Resources, have already won DoD cloud approval, even under the older, more cumbersome process, Orndorff says the department feels confident that virtualization technology has advanced far enough to protect DoD data from spillage, even if it's hosted on the same physical machines as dozens of other commercial clients.
Now, how do we mitigate that? We're going to be working with the cloud providers to assess the strength of the virtual separation, what monitoring we need to have both on the cloud provider side and the DoD side to look for signs that that boundary, that virtualization boundary has been broken, and then how do we monitor it on the DoD side to look for anomalies or indicators that there are indicators of a compromise.
The new cloud security guide is just the first version. DISA envisions updates at least once every quarter. Dave Mihilchek, the agency's chief technology officer, says future versions and further advances in technology are likely to make DoD more and more accepting of commercial cloud environments it's been slow to embrace so far.
I think there's a great opportunity to leverage evolving technology, data at rest encryption. We've talked to a number of vendors who are bringing that to the table for cloud computing environments, encryption technologies to validate the security of the entire stack from the TPM up. Other technologies to detect the advanced persistent threat, whether it be in a cloud environment or in our internal environment. So we've got to leverage all of these technologies moving forward, and it's a challenge that I think the DoD is definitely up for, because there's potentially huge savings long-term for certain workloads to be moved to this commercial cloud environment.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio.com and 1500 AM.